born feeling. Amen. Amen. Appreciate the music this morning. And appreciate Brother Mosley. I know he worked out all day yesterday helping us and putting together the Fall Festival. He don't feel good. And so we'll give him some slack this morning on the soundboard back there. How many of you are cold this morning? Why is it just this side? How many? Okay, this is a Democratic vote here now. How many are just right? How many are hot? Okay, all right, another vote. How many ladies are cold? How many ladies are just right? I'm going to take my coat off then. Amen. This is one of those times of the years it's hard to set the air conditioning and heating, and we do have it turned up, definitely have it turned up, but it's still a little cold, so bring your Afghan or... I had to go back to wearing like the flannel dress. Do they make those? No. Only the Albertsons. Most people don't know that. Okay. Amen. Well, glad you're here. This is Open House Sunday. We thank you for being here. Our visitors, we thank you for being here. If we can ever help you, do anything for you, we sure want to do that. Lord bless us with these facilities about almost 4.5 years ago now, and what great facilities God has given us. Amen? And we have a little over 17 acres, and that God blessed us with about 9 years ago. And it's been a privilege and just a great honor to be a part of the city of Haslett and be a part of this community, and we look forward to many more years together working and being a part of it. And what a blessing. What a blessing it was yesterday just to be a part of the Fall Festival and put on that. We're going to show you some slides here in a little while. And what a tremendous, tremendous night. God couldn't have given us better weather. It was just terrific. And again, just to be a part of the community. And we want to continue to fill this facility up that God has given us. And the facility is just a tool. We always try to emphasize that there's nothing spiritual about this building. As I stated before, it's such a beautiful day. We could have met outside, and you ladies really would have froze in. But if we could have met outside and had services out there, and we still would have been the church. The church is not the building. The church is the people. The only thing that makes this building special is paid for by the Lord's money, with God's people given. And that does make it special to us because of the sacrifice that was made to build it and to purchase the land and so forth. I'll never forget, we went to find out about the land, and we just knew it was a great deal, and we began to work all the details out and needed to put 20% down. Some of y'all remember that. We needed $60,000 to put down. We had saved over that first year. We had saved about $25,000, I think, somewhere around there. So we had that in the bank. But we had to raise about $30,000 or $40,000 in, I think it was 30 days, I believe. I think it was 30 days. We had to raise $30,000 to $40,000. And, man, our people pulled together and did it. It was amazing. Some were garage selling it, selling stuff. Some people went out and got a loan, you know. Preacher, I'm bringing $1,000 a day, but I'll be paying the bank for the next 10 months. Amen. And I mean, just all sorts of sacrifices were made to purchase the property, and God has been so good to us. And I think about it every time I walk in the building, and just the things that have been done, the completion of the upstairs this year, the beginning of the year, and then the new carpet around the auditorium, and just this and that, and God's been great to us. We hope you enjoy the facilities. If we can help you and letting you see any of it, let us know, especially some of you new members who may not have seen it. Would like to tour, let me know, and I'll give you that, or I'll be more than happy to give you that. I'll do it with bells and whistles on. Amen. Start a series of messages this morning on hope in God. This morning, I want you, if you would, in your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We spent the month of January preaching on hope in God, our theme for the year. And I went back and looked at those. And some of this morning will be a slight review because we want to get you back in the swing of things. And we'll be preaching on this off and on, the most of this month for sure, and then off and on throughout the rest of the year. And I hope that you will enjoy. We sang the song there, our opening, "Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Listen, there's some lovely people in this room. There's some great people in this room. There's people here I've known for a long time and that I trust. But I only truly trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, my parents have let me down from time to time. I've let my kids down from time to time. My friends have let me down from time to time. But the Lord Jesus Christ has never let me down. He always comes through. He is the keeper of promises. The book of Hebrews says he always keeps his promises. And he's promised to take care of us, to leave us, never to leave us nor forsake us. So my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Now, approximately 150 times the word hope is found in our Bible. 150 times. I believe the Lord thought the word was pretty important if he'd included 150 times in the Word of God. And hope is vital in our personal lives. And that's not the message this morning, but hope is vital. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses, but we're going to give you the context a little later of this passage. So some of you who may want to read ahead and know what's going on, just hang out with me, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look with me in verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, that means serious-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your love and grace and mercy. We thank you for the hope that is given to us by way of salvation. We pray as we study two areas this morning of this hope, we pray, God, that you would just lead and direct in every way. I pray if there's someone here who has never accepted you as Savior, they never trusted in your salvation, I pray they would do so today. Lord, we look forward to that great salvation one day in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. The word hope, let me give you a few definitions again. The word hope. Hope is the expectation of some good thing to come. The expectation of some good thing to come. Hope, according to Webster's Dictionary, is a sense that what is wanted will happen. That what is wanted will happen. Hope is to anticipate, usually with pleasure. To anticipate, usually say, I hope in this or I hope in that. You're anticipating with pleasure. But biblically, and more precisely, it's confident expectation, a confident expectation of a positive outcome. It is confidence in the promises of God. I hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope in God. We see this in our theme verse for the year in Psalm 43 and verse 5, where King Hezekiah said, I hope in God. He basically saying, I'm not hoping in my armies. He was the king of Israel. He said, I'm not hoping in my armies. I'm not hoping in my prophets. I'm not hoping in the walls of Jerusalem. I'm not hoping. He said, the armies were surrounding the city. He said, I'm not placing my hope in the physical defenses that we may have. But I'm placing my hope and trust in God. In God. Let me just tell you, you can't totally trust those things around you. That bank account, as we know, could be gone tomorrow. Right? The stock market's up this month, but it may be back down next month. We don't put our trust in riches. We don't put our trust in our health. We don't put our trust in our friends. Our complete and final trust is in God. He is our only hope. We can easily become burdened and beaten and bummed out. I put that down in my notes. We can easily become burdened, beaten, and bummed out with the things going on around us in this world. And we can sit down in front of the TV and become discouraged and full of despair. But let me tell you, there's hope in God. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in man, but in God. And we must place our hope there. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Which is our hope. I'm going to do a message between now and the end of the year on the difference between faith and hope. But hope has to do more with the object than it does our thinking. And I don't know if I can illustrate it or not very well, and we'll do it again later. But we always talk about faith. We talk about a chair. Should have done it up on stage, huh? I don't need that anyway. Faith, hope has more to do with the object My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the object of my hope. Right? The object of my hope. The faith is I believe this chair will hold me up. Right? I have faith, a mental assent that this chair will hold me up because of some things I know about the chair. Plus, I've tried it before. Right? But my hope is to do with the object of the chair, not necessarily my ability to stand on it. Faith is my ability to stand on it because I believe in it. But hope is the object. I'm hoping in the chair. Right? Make any sense? Hope. I'm hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the object of my hope. Amen? Hope in the Lord. Again, Paul makes it very clear that Christ is the object of our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, which is our hope. Our object of hope is the Lord Jesus. Psalm 38, verse 15 says, "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope." Psalm 39, verse 7 says, "My hope is in thee." In Psalm 71, verse 5, the Bible says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God." We have hope, and our hope should be and needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's two great salvations found here, and I want to just give you a couple of things out of these few verses that are found here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First, we see salvation from God's wrath on our sins. Look there again in verse 8. "But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed His children into wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, again, we know that the Ephesians chapter 6 refers to putting on the whole armor of God. And one of those pieces of armor, as we learned at Vacation Bible School, is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Here, Paul refers to it as an helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. There are some differences. We're going to cover those in a moment. But we see, "And for an helmet, the hope of salvation, that God has not appointed His children under wrath." God has not appointed us under wrath. We are not under, as children of God, we are not under the wrath of God. First off, I'm going to just give you three things under here. Salvation. What does salvation mean? The hope of salvation. What is that? Salvation means to be saved. In order to be saved, you've got to be saved from something. Usually illustrated by drowning. A person's in the in a pond swimming, and they panic, or they get a cramp, and they begin to go down. Somebody from the bank swims out, grabs them, brings them back to the bank, and saves them from drowning. Right? They saved them from drowning. They saved them from something. Amen? I was saved when I was, I've heard this story some of you 1,000 times. I was saved when I was about 4 or 5 years old by my mom. She picked me up out of the buoy lake. I almost drowned. She picked me up and carried me to the side and got the water out of me. Thank the Lord. Amen. I'll never forget that drive home. And my dad, when we got home, griping at me for nearly drowning. "So what are you, I nearly drowned. What are you griping about it?" We have a lot of new people. Let me tell you the story. We went to the buoy lake. We were swimming. I was in one of those little blow-up canoes. Little blow-up, you blow, I was swimming, canoeing out there. Got too deep, and when I did, I turned around. When I turned around, I fell off. It was too deep. But I remembered that great, great, and wonderful cartoon, Popeye the Sailor Man. How many of y'all have seen olive oil go down in the water, you know, and come back up with the one finger and the two finger and three finger? How many times has that happened on Popeye, right? Am I speaking to the right crowd this morning? Amen? Some of y'all may not have watched it in years. I haven't either, but man. Anyway, so what I did is when I fell off, and I couldn't swim, but I went down to the bottom of the lake, and I'd push off the bottom of the lake, and then I would raise my hand, you know, and my mom saw my hand. If I hadn't done that, I'd have died. That's why I always say that's how Popeye saved my life. The cartoon. But I was saved from drowning. My mom picked me up out of the water, or I would have drowned. Saved. Salvation. Being saved. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. It says there that, "And for our helmet, the hope of salvation, for God hath not appointed His children under wrath." his children. Who are his children? Who are his children? The Bible says in John 1:12, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." How do we become the sons of God? How do we become children of God? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is by way in which we become children of the Lord. Salvation is to those who believe. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, and we repeat this verse all the time, but I'm going to go read it real quick. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Salvation. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved." Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are his children by believing and trusting in him. Those that believe on him are called the children of God. Then we see in this verse again, it says, "For an helmet of hope, the hope of salvation, for God hath not appointed his children," those who have believed and trusted in him, "unto wrath." Unto wrath. What is wrath? Speaking of here and in other places in the Bible. This wrath spoken of is seen in several, two lights. I'm going to give you two ways in which this verse portrays this wrath, okay? In Romans chapter 5, in verse 8, the Bible says that God commendeth or showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved. So listen to this. We shall be saved from wrath through him. I'm going to read that again. But God showed his love to us. He commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified, that means just as if I'd never sinned, by what? By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We are saved from wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 says we are called the children of wrath, that we are by nature the children of wrath. When we are born in this world, we are born under the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death and hell in the lake of fire, the wrath of God. The Bible says we are born children of wrath. Everyone with me? We are born children of wrath. We're born under the penalty of sin. Wherefore, for the wages of sin is death. We are born under that penalty of sin, the wrath of God. John chapter 3. If you can, I want you to turn to this one instead of quoting it. I want you to go over and turn to it. John 3:36. This will help you get the rest of the message. This is a familiar passage probably to most of you. In Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 36, most of you learned it and memorized it as kids. If not, you ought to memorize it. It's a great verse. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Boy, it can't be clearer than that. A person who accepts Christ as their Savior, a person who believes on the Son of God shall be saved, shall have everlasting life. And those who believe not on the Son of God will be under and shall face the wrath of God. But the wrath of God abideth on them. Pretty serious, isn't it? Notice in our text verse it says, us. Us. Listen. Again, we are born children of wrath. We are saved from wrath by way of salvation in Jesus Christ, by believing and trusting in him. A good illustration of this is Noah and the ark. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that man's thoughts had become evil only continually. The Bible says that God said that he repented him that he made man, and he said, "I will destroy man off the face of the earth." Except Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God found one just man in his family. And so God told Noah to build an ark. Build an ark of gopher wood. And he built this ark, took over 100 years, built the ark. And one day God said to Noah and his family, 7 others, 8 altogether, come into the ark. And Noah and his family went into the ark, came into the ark. And the Bible says God shut the door. And 7 days after God shut the door, it began to rain. The Bible says the great deeps of the earth were broken up. So there was water coming down from above. There was water coming up from underneath the earth. It was a catastrophic event, a cataclysmic event. God destroyed man off the face of the earth. Every living creature. Boy. Every man, woman, child died. You say, why? The wrath of God. The wrath of God. The wrath of God upon what? The wrath of God upon sin. Man's thoughts become evil only continually. And God destroyed man off the face of the earth. But Noah and his family, they were safe. Why? Because they were in the ark. They were saved from the wrath of God upon sin because they came into the ark. We are safe in Christ. When we believe and trust in Him, we are saved from the wrath of God because we are in Jesus Christ. We've been justified. We've been forgiven of our sins. Safe from wrath and make me pure. He made some great old songs. Could sing a bunch of them. Safe from that wrath. We are saved from wrath by our hope in God. Saved from wrath by our hope in God for salvation from that wrath upon sin. Secondarily, I want you to turn back, if you're not there, turn back to our text, because I want to give you the context of this particular passage, because the context is saying more than just talking about the wrath that we are under because of our sins. There's also a reckoning day coming. There's a judgment day coming. There's a day in which God will pour out His wrath upon the earth. And the context of this verse is what it's talking about. Look there with me in chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to read 11 verses with you. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, that little phrase, day of the Lord, is talking about the end times. That's from the day of the rapture to the day in which there's a new heaven and a new earth. That period of time is called the day of the Lord. Okay? Try to follow me. I'll give you some more information in just a moment. But it says there, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, but they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us, who's us, the children of God, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake our sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify another, even as also ye do. Not only are we saved by our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, saved from the wrath of God upon our sins, but we're saved from the wrath to come. The wrath to come. Again, the context of this particular passage, we see that the day of the Lord is coming. There will be a day. The rapture will take place. The clock of the end times will begin. Here we see a contrast in these first verses. It talks about the day and the dark. The day and the dark. Those who are of the day and those who are of the dark. Those who are sober and those who are drunk. Contrasting those who are saved with those who are lost. Listen, if you're saved here this morning, you're not in the dark. You're not in the dark. If you've been around preaching and teaching very, very long, you are not in the dark about what's to come. Listen, we shouldn't be as a drunk person and just be drunk about it and just say, okay, I'm not in control of myself. I'm not in control of my faculties. I'm not in control of my brain. I'm not in control. Listen, whatever comes, comes. Whatever let be, let be. No. The Bible says be sober. We're supposed to be sober. We're supposed to be serious-minded. The day is coming. We're not of the night. We're the light. We're saved, born again, children of God. We should be ready. We should be alert. The day is coming. Jesus is returning. We are saved from the wrath of God that is to come by our hope in God. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The tribulation is soon to come. Now the next event to happen on the calendar of God's events of the end times is the rapture. The rapture of the saved. The rapture of those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. Those who have put their place and trust in Jesus Christ. You say, what does that mean? First Thessalonians says that we shouldn't be ignorant about what God is going to do. That the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called to be with Him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The next thing to happen on the prophetic calendar is the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead, those who are asleep in the grave, who have accepted Christ as their Savior, will rise up out of the graves. 1 Corinthians says they'll receive new bodies. Amen? And those of us who are alive at the time of the rapture, those who are alive at the time of the trumpet sounding when Christ returns, we will be raised also. And we will receive new bodies. Amen? That the next event to happen on the prophetical calendar of God is the rapture. And let me tell you, it could happen today. We believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we believe in that? Because the Bible teaches it. There is nothing left on the prophetic calendar that needs to be fulfilled in order for the Lord to return. He's just waiting for God to say, the Heavenly Father to say to the Son, go get your children. Go get the bride. Amen? And that could happen today. It could happen tonight. It could happen in tomorrow. It could happen in 30 seconds. The Bible says here it'll come as a thief in the night. No man knows. Amen. No man knows the times and the seasons, brethren. You have not need that I write unto you. For he says, no, perfectly, the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. It'll come when there's peace and safety and so forth. But Jesus is to return. He will rapture us out of here. After the rapture takes place, there will be a tribulation period of 7 years. 7 years. 3.5 years of peace and 3.5 years of just terrible, awful events. Terrible, terrible, terrible. The Bible says, a third of all the world will die. The Bible says even the day will become longer. The sun will become hotter. There's lots of things. There'll be creatures running around that not running around right now. It's going to be a terrible time in which God basically, literally, withholds His hand, pulls back the Spirit of God, and lets the devil have full reign on earth. And then all of that, but you have God pouring out His wrath upon the earth. At the end of that 7 years, a great battle will take place called the Battle of Armageddon. All the enemies of God will be destroyed there in that valley. A great battle will take place, but it's not really all that great a battle because the Lord just speaks and everybody dies. Amen? He just lands on top of Mount Olivet. The Bible says that the mountain splits in two. He speaks the word and all the armies are destroyed. Then there'll be a period of a few days there, probably 30 to 45 days, in which He will judge the nations. And then He will usher in the millennial kingdom, a 1,000-year reign, in which those of us who were raptured 7 years earlier will be a part of those who rule and reign with Him during that millennial, that 1,000-year reign. Amen? At the end of that 1,000 years, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth made. Woo! Amen? And then we'll live for all eternity with Him. The point is this, the wrath of God is coming. There is a great tribulation day coming. And the Bible says those who have accepted Christ as Savior, those who are His children, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. We will not, as children of God, face the tribulation. But we will be called out and escape the wrath of God. That could be today. Are you ready? That's why the Bible says today is a day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. Salvation is not something you should put off. We need to place our hope in God, hope of escaping the wrath of God. He's not appointed us unto wrath. He hasn't appointed His children unto wrath. Who are His children? those who place their trust in Him. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Is He your Father? The word hope, confident expectation. I love it. One time I heard Brother Weatherby say the definition of hope was just a matter of time. It's not like, I hope I go home and have roast today. Right? I'm just hoping because I left before Mama was cooking. I don't know what she cooked. I hope it's roast and taters. She's saying no. I hope my kids didn't eat all the candy before I get a chance to eat some of it. I'm being silly, but that's not the kind of hope the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about, when it says the word hope, it's saying confident expectation. It will happen. Hope. Because the object in which we are hoping in, the person, is Jesus Christ. And He never, ever, 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 ever lies. He always keeps His promises. And He says that He will return. Right? He says, for in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming again. And He will draw us out. He will rapture us out. We will be caught away in the clouds to be with Him. And when we are caught away, the Holy Spirit will be removed from this earth. The wrath of God will be poured out. And there will be a judgment day. And those who are not of God, those who haven't believed and put their trust in Jesus Christ, will face the wrath to come. Are you saved this morning? Are you a child of God? Listen, child of God, are you ready to meet Him? Are you ready to meet Him? I'm glad today I'm saved from wrath. I'm also saved from the wrath to come. I like verse 11. It says, wherefore, knowing this, knowing that you are saved from that wrath, us, we are saved. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. We are saved from wrath and we are saved from worry. Why should we worry or fret? Jesus is going to return and He's in control. Hope in God. Noah, after 1 year of being on that ark, landed on top of Mount Ararat. The door was flung open to that great ark, and him and his family stepped off that ark, and they made sacrifices unto God. The Bible tells us there in Genesis chapter 8 that when God smelled that sweet-smelling savor, the smell of those sacrifices, that it pleased Him. And He said to Noah, He said, I will not destroy man off the face of the earth again. And as long as there is an earth, we know there'll be a new heaven and a new earth someday, but as long as there's an earth, there'll be springtime, winter, fall, harvest. The four seasons will be in place, contrary to the new environmentalists. Until the Lord returns, the four seasons will be in place. Hello? Then He made a covenant with Abraham. He said, Abraham, to show you and to prove you and to remind you of the covenant we've made, I'll put a rainbow in the sky. Every time it rains, you'll see a bow in the sky. It's a bow without an arrow. It's a bow without the wrath of God. I'll put that promise. You know what? You imagine the first time it rained after they came off the ark? What would you thought? Uh-oh, here go again. But then the rain stopped and that rainbow comes out. You imagine? Noah said, listen, God keeps His promises. The rest of Noah's life, he had that great promise in place. And he was reminded over and over and over again of that promise. Children of God, we have a great promise. We will not face the wrath of God. And He always keeps His promises. And we can take comfort in that promise, verse 11 says. And we can edify each other through that promise. Listen, when you're down and discouraged and in despair, remember Christ is soon to return. Amen? this is not all that life is about. There's a great day coming. I'm looking forward to that day. We can take comfort in knowing that we are not appointed to wrath. Let's all stand. Hymn 153, I Surrender All. You can go ahead and turn there very quickly.